All right, ready to get started? Yes?
I mean, this might be happening.
All right, let's do it then. Okay, I call this meeting to order. And on your desk, that you'll find that there are Norma has put together a supplemental budget information packet. And Norma, do you want to explain what's in this packet here? Oh, okay. Here.
Two sentences or less.
Okay.
Can you guess?
well, we did have to. It was brought to my attention at the last meeting. I don't have the mic. It was brought to my attention at the last meeting that the pages 11 through 12 were incorrect. There was one sales tax account number that was missing, so I reprinted those pages so you can replace those. That's the first page, and it starts with Tompkins-Cortland Community College. The second page is unallocated revenues. I was also asked to put together an over-target request. That's the blue packet. That's the next item in that packet. But what this shows you is all of the items that the legislature has currently in the budget, one-time funded. We've shown the staffing, new initiative staffing, and ongoing expenses to the right, just so that you can see what items may continue to come back every year. I'm going through these quickly, so stop me if you have any questions. Julie had asked me to give you a chart of the Consumer Price Index. That's that colored chart, so the third item in the packet. A few legislators have requested a breakdown of the exemptions. That's the salmon portion of the packet. And then I reprinted the request that Frank Proto had for the reductions that were made during the budget process that weren't in the budget as an over-target request. So that's what you should have in your packet. For those of you that don't have a copy of this, it'll be posted on the website tomorrow.
Yes, Frank.
Can you say again where page 11 out of 322? That's TCB.
That's part of the budget and capital.
Committee,
yeah.
All right. With that, we'll start going into our motions here regarding the budget. The first one is contingent fund for soil and water rent expense. Dooley, are you ready?
Almost. First seven.
That's all right. Yeah.
Soil and water was here at earlier meetings. We all know what a good job they do leveraging county money, but they need a place to live and work. And as Steve Witcher has mentioned earlier, there is some difficulty confirming whether NRCS, which is where Soil and Water currently is housed, has interest in moving with Soil and Water to the same site that the county has leased on Hanshaw Road for the election machines. But we know we're going to have to pay something for soil and water in coming years in any event. And so I would very much like to put some round figure earmarked in contingency so that we know that it's going to be needed, but we're not exactly sure what that dollar figure is. And I asked Steve Witcher to give us his best guess, which is $35,000 to earmark. And that's the worst possible case, he said. So that's what I will move to earmark in contingency.
All right. Do I have a second? Michael Quigalera seconds. Discussion. Frank.
Action we took... We postponed action the last time, if I remember right, on the $18,000.
I don't remember the number.
Is that so? We never. That was is this number a substitute number for the $18,000?
The $18,000 was the request based on the proposal from NRCS. However, that's not our worst-case scenario. What I'm trying to do with the contingent fund is just putting the worst-case scenario forward. The best-case scenario would be about $3,500. So there's quite a range.
Other discussion?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead, Frank.
Yeah. That assumes, the $35,000 assumes that we're going to get whacked for the whole thing.
Correct. That would assume that we would rent the second part of the building where we are currently housing the election machines, and NRCS elected not to come with soil and water, and the county assumed total liability for that. That would be the worst case scenario.
Martha.
Forgive me if you've explained this before, but why can't we just move soil and water there and let NRCS do their own thing?
That would be the worst case scenario. That's what we don't want to have happen, but it might be indeed what happens.
Why is that the worst? I mean, if they...
Just financially, it's the worst case scenario. I mean, as far as operations go, it would be a good move for soil and water. It's just that they complement each other, and the synergies of having them together is important. And it just seems totally illogical for them to be separated, and it also seems very illogical that the NRCS will maintain in their current position. It just doesn't make sense.
But why would we have, I guess what I'm trying to say is, why would we have to rent a larger space on Hanshaw Road than we actually need, and then therefore be required to pay for it, even if NRCS doesn't move over?
What I'm saying is this is the worst case scenario. There are other ways we could handle it. We could decide that you're not going to spend any money at all, and you're going to house them over in Boswick Road. I don't think that would make anybody happy, and I'm not sure it would be a good solution, but that's a possibility. What I'm trying to do with the contingent fund is just say, what's the worst thing that could happen? This is the worst. I doubt that it's going to happen. I think the answer is going to be much more palatable than that.
All right, I have Greg, Frank, Mike, and then Jim.
I think this is a good idea. I was just going to ask Steve if there's any new information regarding NRCS. I know it's been like beating your head against the wall. Is there any?
Well, Senator Schumer is very interested, and Amanda Spellacy, who's the regional representative, is working on this. They've been distracted by minor things like trying to save the world, and this is a little bit further down the list. So they have promised that they will spend some real time on it. Basically, the situation is that NRCS has to make a decision. The position that they're in is untenable and can't work because my advice to soil and water is, simply just say no. You're not going to sign anything. You're not going to sign any working agreement. You're not going to agree with anything. And then NRCS has got a choice. They can either pay the rent, they can ask soil and water to leave. If they ask soil and water to leave, then they have to renegotiate the lease. When they want to renegotiate the lease, Senator Schumer's office is going to be front row and center saying, well, what are you doing? Okay.
All right. Frank?
Steve, do you know, since soil and water is so successful at bringing other funds in, is there any possibility that they can allocate any of those funds that they receive through the grants to rent expense?
It's usually not. The vast majority of the grants that have been coming in lately do not include any kind of administrative overhead. And because soil and water hasn't had a lot of administrative overhead, I don't think they've even been applying for it. But in the future, I think it's something we can ask Craig to be watching out for and see if they're allowed to spin off any of those monies. But under the current grants, I doubt that would be allowed.
Mike?
I'll be supporting this, but I want to caution us, this idea of every time we have an if statement, we put something aside in contingency. That's exactly what contingency is for. We now have $1 million beyond our target contingency. So I understand the intention behind this, and I'll support it, but I don't want us to, for every single option, put 10 more thousand or 100 more thousand into contingency. I think that's exactly what all these ups and down possibilities are covered that way. Jim?
The minutes say that 18,000 and next week would be, we might have more information. It is now next week, so the more information is $17,000 more dollars, right? Just let me understand that.
Yep. All right. Any other discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please raise your hands. All right, and opposed? So that's 13 to 1. So 13 ayes and 1 no. Okay. All right. Next is Frank. Frank, you have you want to discuss ATI funding for a few minutes, and then after that, Julie has a item about probation and community justice, which is to target fund the systems analyst position.
Thanks, Nathan. I just wanted to let you know what I've been able to find out so far on the the whole ATI arena. I'm not in a position today to present any motions on anything, and I've already communicated that through Norma to Pat Bouchel, Patricia Carey, and the sheriff, because all the information hasn't been assembled yet. But I asked Norma to provide you with a summary as we know it right now, and that's the yellow sheet that's attached to your packet on your desks, so that we have some idea of how much money is allocated for ATI. And what I've been able to find out so far, I've had a meeting with the sheriff and a meeting with Patricia Carey, and Pat Bouchel and I are supposed to meet tomorrow, and hopefully went through the majority of the programs, because that's where the majority of them exist. They're in probation. As it stands right now, there's three players involved in ATI programs: the sheriff's office, DSS, and probation. Advisory Board, Criminal Justice Advisory Board, is really out there as yet another. It's sort of a player, but it has no reporting authority at this point. It's sort of an advisory board to run ideas by. What I've been able to ascertain through the sheriff has one partially funded position. The reentry programs are separately run. They're not really part of ATI, although they carry an ATI designation. But from what I was told, they don't require any direct funding by us, except for the deputy sheriff's position that is half funded, as I understand it. I think that's Jeff's position.
That would be in the jail now.
Yeah. And it was explained to me is that once somebody goes through the reentry programs, and there's quite an elaborate spreadsheet that shows you what those programs are. It has a number of agencies involved and whatnot. Once someone goes through those programs, they have to be on a track to be released from the jail. And they're taken, once they are almost done, they're taken to DSS, and Patricia Carey confirmed this, and they must qualify as any other DSS recipient would qualify for any of the DSS programs. DSS receives no direct monies from us or from the state for the programs themselves, because as ATI programs, because they are considered county-funded programs. We do, as I understand it, fund one position there. That is a coordinator's position, but Patricia's clarifying that for me. So the largest role, really, is through the probation department. And that's where the majority of the programs, and Patricia's going to, or Pat is going to help me understand all of the designations tomorrow. We're going to do it in 20 minutes or less, so that I can come back to you with some understanding of the number of employees that are associated with ATI programs, probably categorically which programs they are, from day reporting to drug court to whatever they happen to be. And the, some of you will remember, we have had ATI programs forever. They were the probation programs that we've always had, they've been assimilated into this now, but they were programs that we have always funded. To further complicate the situation, there's two sets of funding. There's funding that comes through the state that go to such agencies like OAR, and there's funding that the county puts up, and that's more or less the funding that's on this yellow sheet. And it's created some concern as to how do we designate not only where the money's coming from, but where the money's going. What I'm getting is an instant education on why you've heard so much about those identification numbers. And it's my understanding that an MOU has been drafted and signed between the sheriff's office and Sue Cook's office, but it simply defines the monies that are coming from the state. It does not identify those SWIN numbers, it doesn't identify those numbers for county-funded programs, and that's where the bulk of the money seems to be coming from and going to. So I'll have a little more information for you, hopefully, by the time that we get into deliberations on the entire budget. But my original proposal was to freeze $500,000 in this whole set of programs until we had some answers, simply because I've been concerned, as some of you have been, for quite some time to try to get a handle on this. And it's been an education. I will tell you that right now.
I have Martha, Mike Hattery, Carol, and then Jim.
Frank, I'm sorry I didn't bring along the pile about this thick of evaluations that we have done of our ATI programs, as well as evaluations that the state did of statewide programs, including ours, as well as federal evaluations, because in many cases, you really need a much bigger population, sample size than we could possibly have to do a thorough evaluation, and that's what federal programs have done. So if this goes to evaluation, we've done it. It's ongoing. But, as federal, state, and local evaluations have been done, I'd be happy to bring them in tomorrow. You should have seen those many years ago when they've been done. I've handed them, I've waved them at many meetings. Let me mention that ATI means alternative to incarceration. The reentry program is for people serving their sentence. So they're incarcerated. So anything that's called reentry is not an alternative to incarceration.
As I have said, I made that perfectly clear.
Well, you've just described, it seems to me, in what you've been talking about, you've described mostly the reentry program, and it's not an alternative. What it basically is alternative to recidivism, we hope. So it is that program, if you're going after ATI programs, then what you want to look at is programs that people are using instead of going to jail. So I hope that we're not even talking about reentry. That's a whole different animal. And I think if you came to the Public Safety Committee meeting or the CJA board meeting, any of those, you would have a better understanding of how the monies do get used. And I would just say that it's true. The whole probation department essentially is an ATI program, and I think if if we have to go back and justify why do we have a probation department, well, that's a really fundamental question. And but the additional programs that we added beginning in, I think, 1998, the drug court programs and the Justice Center, we have evaluated those programs, and they've been proven very effective. And I'll be happy to bring those in tomorrow.
All right. I have Mike Hattery next.
This isn't a lecture, Frank. What did you mean by freeze?
I meant not spending any money until we get answers on the program.
So you wouldn't include it in this year's budget?
Say again?
You wouldn't include it in this year's budget?
It wouldn't be included in 2008. It would be for 2009.
All right, Carol?
It wouldn't be included for 2008. We already have a 2008 budget.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to upset the 2008 budget.
Yeah, we're working on the 2009.
I understand that. No, I didn't understand what he just said in the context of that. Okay. No, my question is, if we're going to look at it this way, it won't mean anything to me unless we also have the figures in the next column of what it would cost if we didn't have these programs. If we had to keep people in jail or board them out, what would that cost be? So if I'm going to look at this and even consider doing anything like that, it would need to be in that context. So while you're doing your research and bringing us back numbers, I'd appreciate it, that in the look as well.
Jim and then Frank.
Thank you, Nathan. A question I've had for 3 years is, how many people do we actually touch with any of these programs? And that's a number that I'm seeking, and I'm not even sure which way to go to find that answer, but that would be one I would be really interested in seeing. And I understand we have probation, I understand we have other things, but a number like that would be helpful. The other question I had, you said that in the Sheriff's Department there was a partially funded position. Is that on the road side or correction side?
Corrections.
And that's a reentry position.
That's correct.
I'm sorry?
That is absolutely correct.
That's Jeff Potter working on it.
Right, okay. And that he was the young man who came before the committee and had that explanation.
And that's just as a matter of point of reference. I believe you put $60,000 in last year for that position. So it's more than half the position.
And you said it was $50,000?
$60,000.
Okay, so that sounds like more than half.
Frank?
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Not to get into a debate with Martha, but the material that's been that Martha's referring to regarding those reports is indeed old information. And some of the concern is that some of that data needs to be reviewed. Not all of it, not all of us bought into the results of that data. And it's time to step back and do some of what Carol was just describing. Some of us have been at this for a long time asking the same questions, Carol. Just for clarification, I thought I was clear in saying that the reentry program that exists in the Sheriff's Office through the Sheriff's Office currently with 17 participants indeed is for incarcerated individuals, but they have to be on a track to be released. It is not that their sentence is ending. You can't have somebody in that reentry program, according to what Peter told me, that has 5 years to go, for instance, because that's not the way that program works. I wasn't aware of the dollar amount that Steve just mentioned, but indeed that is the one position that's funded through reentry. It is not part, get it, not part of the ATI program. If that wasn't clear on what I said before, let me make it perfectly clear, because that's what Peter told me. The information, Carol, that I've been after for these many years depends on who's providing the information. Some of us have not been happy with the statistics that are in the reports that Martha is referring to, because you can't get your hands around the number of participants the way Jim just asked the question. We need to know how many people are touched. There's been some discussion as to how do you identify people or how do you identify individuals so that you know what the recidivism rate may be? And that's been up for discussion between two departments, at least two departments right now, perhaps three. But I understand that there perhaps is a way that we can resolve that. The piece that Peter was able to provide deals with the reentry people and the, which is not part of ATI, but because it's state, part of that money is state, that is part of the money that goes to OAR. And that's what's created some consternation on that $30,000 that we've been batting around for about a month and a half, and Greg pulled off the agenda the other night. So this is not going to be resolved in a week. This is probably going to be something that will continue to be discussed, and I'll keep bringing it up because I think all of us are entitled to some answers. These are very expensive. This is a very expensive area. I'm not interested in dismantling the probation department. I don't think anybody is. But I think that we deserve to know, A, how much we're spending, B, are they effective programs, C, do we have any track record to show that people are not only taking advantage of the programs, but they're being helped by the programs. And this is a tough thing to say. If they're not, we need to evaluate them and perhaps make a decision as a board to stop funding them. What does it take to get some parameters on this? What are our benchmarks? And that's a question that I think Sue Cook was charged with a little over a year ago, as I remember, and has been working on trying to get some answers to those questions. So hopefully, I really didn't want to get into a debate on this this afternoon, but just to let you know that I'm making an effort to try to get some answers for this board, because I brought this up at the Public Safety Committee 4 years ago and put together a proposal back then, and nothing was done. And frankly, this is beginning to get to be a very expensive exercise and experiment. And I would appreciate it if you would bring those reports in, Martha.
I have Kathy, Martha, then Mike, and then Pat.
Thank you. With all due respect to Frank and to Martha and everybody else that's eager to weigh in on this, this is not a casual discussion. This is a debate about it, and it's been going on a long time, and it's going to be expensive, and we are going to want to look at it, and as Carol pointed out, there's always going to be more information that we're going to want to highlight it, and we can spend 4 or 5 hours discussing this tonight, and it'll just not even be the introduction to this, but it's important, and I agree with Frank and Martha that this has been looked at, this needs to be looked at, and sitting between them, I can tell you that no matter how much information we get, they're not going to agree. But we're going to have to come to some decisions. I think it's appropriate for us to look at how we're doing, what our progress is, and try and fine-tune things. And I think that's something that we will agree on with time. But please, can we not go into this for 4 hours right now?
Thank you for that comment, Kathy. And in fact, we will move on in a few minutes. So I have Martha, Mike. If nobody else has a comment, then Poe and Pat, and then if nobody else has a comment after that, we'll move on.
I would first agree that it's been a while since the last evaluation, and that's fine too. I think it was 2003 when we had the last evaluation, and Susie brought Nancy Andino here in August to talk about how to evaluate these programs, and I'm still waiting for the DVD, Susie. I don't know. Okay. So we should go back and look at the numbers and the programs. I agree with that. Tim Joseph used to say, "When's the last time we evaluated the jail?" So you know, if we're talking about effectiveness of programs, jail as a program to help people move into you know, a more productive phase with their lives is monumentally unsuccessful. So that's really the measure, is if you have programs like this or not. And by the way, if somebody has 5 years to go on their sentence, they're in state prison. The people in county jail are only sentenced to a year or less. So,
you speaking from personal experience?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
That's good.
That was anecdotal, by the way.
Anyway, so we're talking about people who are at the end of their relatively minor sentence. They aren't people with felonies.
Mike.
I think it's fine to ask questions about program evaluation. I just don't want to spend a lot of time without a proposal for a budget change in this meeting.
All right.
Pat? I just want to say about ATI. Martha's right. The whole probation supervision aspect is an ATI. That's what the probation is. As far as the specialty programs that we have, I want everyone to realize this is not a black and white issue. They all interrelate with each other. If you take away one, it's going to affect the others, and it's going to affect other departments, namely the jail, namely DSS, namely the quality of life in Tompkins County, recidivism, all of those things. And so it's not something that we should be taking lightly. I am happy to invite all of you to come to probation to see what we do. If you're going to be having a serious discussion about this, I want you to all have a good understanding about what we do. You're more than welcome to come in and sit and listen when we go over our ATI programs and our committees. I offer that to you. So please feel free to call me.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Pam?
Yeah, this is just a request for the future is that I've never heard anybody quote the recidivism rate of people who are going through the ATI programs. And I was just wondering if when we're pulling together information, if that's something that we could have, because once again, it would be a comparison between the people who go through the program, and I'm sure we have statistics on people who don't go through the program and their recidivism rate.
Okay, thanks. Carol, last comments, and then we're going to move on to the next.
Yeah, I just want to revisit. This is an important enough issue, and there's enough interest in it, and it's been long enough since the overview was given that it probably makes sense at some point after budget season, if we can wait, to have not just us sit in on regular meetings where you've got to pick up a little bit at a time about what the overview is, but to do a special session, you know, to set aside an hour or two for those who want to come to get the presentation about what, you know, how the programs work. But it's got to include what the alternatives to the alternatives are. You know, what happens if we don't run these programs? And I'm fine with Frank's list, but you got to add D or E, whatever it was, to your list.
Or F and G.
That looks at what happens if we don't do it.
I think that's a wonderful idea, Carol.
Yeah, so I'd like to suggest that
I would be happy to come and do a presentation over all the programs and how it works. Yes.
All right, thank you. Okay, Dooley, you have a motion regarding making the systems analyst position in probation to target. That's OTR 48 on page 63 of our OTR pages. And we have had an extensive discussion about this in the past, everyone, so you know, try not to repeat yourselves, all right?
It seemed possibly worthwhile to me to bring this back up because of what was said at that previous discussion. This is a position that has been funded one time for a long time. The department continues to need it, says it will continue to need it, and instead of continuing it on one-time basis for next year or for some number of years, I think we need to bite the bullet and recognize that it should be in target. So that's why I brought it back, and I'll move it to
target. All right, do I have a second? Martha seconds. All right, Mike, and then I have a comment.
Just want to refer to the minutes of September 29th. We had a motion for one time that was amended to 2 years. It failed. It was amended to target. It failed. And it finally succeeded 11-1 as one time. We are starting our revisit. It's perfectly legitimate, but I just want people to be aware of the discussion and the votes from September 29th.
If you'd rather put it off till tomorrow, I'm happy to do that.
All right. Martha?
In my notes, the two-year funding failed 6-6. That says that three of our members weren't here, and I think tonight we're all here. So that seems to warrant, you know, another look at it, for one thing. We're almost at the end of sort of the first go-round, and maybe it should be tomorrow's vote, but we've been looking at the tax rate a little right now, a little over 3%, but also keeping an eye on the one-time funding and the number of and that $1 million goal in line 33A or whatever it is.
Fund balance.
In the fund balance, where we've also gone below our goal in that sense. One goal we're above it, and the other sense we're below it. This is an area where if we put this into, Norma, is that what the number would, the tax rate would be if we made this target? We'd be at 3.31.
We were at 3.17, I believe, before that.
Right. Yeah. And I think Carol and I were talking earlier today, if we went up to 3.5, I think we'd add $10 to the taxes on a median value home, basically. So in terms of the individual taxes added for a family, you know, we're really talking relative, very small amounts. I know we're all concerned about that, but this is one position, as we said before, that the department keeps asking for. So I hope, looking at the balance of the fund balance, trying to keep that at a million versus the tax levy, I hope we can support this as target. You meant this as target, right?
Yes.
Kathy, then Norma, and then I have a comment.
Thank you. I supported this as one time. I highlighted in the explanation that it's offset by state aid. That doesn't make me feel inclined to add it to target simply because there's so many other things that I'm not inclined to support adding to target this year. It doesn't mean that I don't value it. I just felt that making it one time this year was a prudent way for me to vote with this, because I don't think it's offset by state aid, but that doesn't mean it always will be in the current state of the state's budget or state of the state and the economy. And as good a job as this is, I just don't see that it should be added to target, so I won't be supporting it, but who knows if I'll be in the majority or not.
Norma?
Sorry, I just want to make sure, this is going to come up later, but it seems pretty relevant to add this now. On Friday afternoon, I was working with the Department of Probation and the Department of Social Services. It looks like they're going to lose some funding from the COPS money. We don't have an exact dollar amount, but it could possibly be as much as $60,000 that we are going to have to address in this budget, whether it's target or one time. I just want you to be aware that that's coming. I don't know the number yet. I can't give it to you. I'm waiting on the final number from the Department of Social Services, but I want you to be aware of that as you make. Not that this isn't important, just.
Mike, you have a question for Norma?
Yeah, is that related to this position, or it's just another?
It's not related to this position. It's related to this department.
Martha, is your comment a follow-up?
Yeah, that's kind of the idea of putting something in the tax levy that we expect is going to keep coming back, and in other words, taking it out of the fund balance expenditures. So we've been talking all along about all these state budget cuts. We don't know what they're going to be, so this is just one we maybe know about. So that's why we want the target fund balance to have more than a million in it, and right now we're below that. Okay. So
these are two probation. Two probation probation. One's a supervisor. One's a probation officer position. I don't know if Pat was given the opportunity or the option. These are ongoing positions as well, is what I'm saying. And funding them one time is still not going to change the fact that they're going to come back next year. They're going to need more funding. So I just want to make sure that when you're balancing out the department, you should know that there's this other thing out there that could cost as much as this, and what's the most important? Is it the microcomputer specialist or the probation officers?
I was just going to say that refer to the minutes from the discussion on what day was that?
September 29th.
And also, I agree with what Kathy said, and I will not support making a target. I think that we are doing a pretty darn good job being close to our target, and that's the commitment that we made to taxpayers, not one necessarily about target fund balance. So I think we should be mindful of that goal, and I will not be supporting it to be mindful of that goal. All right. I have Julie and then Pat.
First, I'd like to apologize to everybody who's here. I obviously don't sound very good. I don't feel very well. And I really appreciate other legislators filling in what I should be saying about things I'm moving. That said, I would like to ask, I guess, Norma in her spare time to let me know how much or what the tax levy could be, which would involve the owner of an average house paying $1 a month more in taxes next year. And the reason I'd like to know that is I would have absolutely no trouble talking to any of my constituents and saying, we think next year is going to be a bear, and we are cognizant of the fact that it's better not to have tax rates up and down and up and down, but to try to keep things gradually changing. And $1 a month more for county taxes, which is not your big tax hit, seems reasonable to me, and I would not have a problem explaining that. That said, I don't know how much flexibility that gives me in supporting positions which should be ongoing positions. And so, Norma, I'm glad you alerted us to these other looming problems. I don't know how to balance these positions, and Pat, if you would care to give me a clue on how you balance them, I would be happy to hear that.
First of all, I'd like to thank you, Julie, for putting this back on the agenda for discussion. I appreciate that. And Martha, I think you asked last time I was here when we talked about this discussion, you wondered about increase in workload.
Please.
And I did look at the numbers. I compared the figures from 2003, that year, and the figures of 2007. Obviously, I didn't go into 2008. But overall in the department, it's a 30% increase in workload. So
that's in cases people manage per officer?
30% overall through the department, family court and criminal court supervision cases.
Thank you.
So I'm standing here again to try to make my pitch that this is a very important position. The services that this position provides are not going to go away. With the increase in workload and the complexity of the cases, the sex offender management, we now have Governor Patterson just passed a new law that Division of Probation, Division of Parole, and Office of Disabilities, Temporary Assistance, I think it's called, has to come up with a plan of housing for sex offenders and where they can be housed. I mean, there's just more and more regulations that are being passed on to us. You're asking for statistics for ATI. This is the systems analyst position is a position that can do that for me. I just want to make a pitch, and Greg Potter from ITS is here today to, as my support for this position, to underscore that his department cannot handle what it is that's required in our department. And I don't know if you'd like to hear from Greg personally on that, but he is here to support that. So.
Okay, I am Mike Capicolare, and then Mike Sigler.
I definitely support this position, but not for Target. When we move into the revisit time frame, which we are beginning with this vote, I know other votes are first-time votes, they're kind of mixed up in this meeting, it's our job to then look at the overall picture of what we did in the first four meetings. Did we go too high on some things? Did we underfund other things? We have to kind of recalibrate after revisits are four. We also have to look at the big picture of the public. I go to school board meetings. I go to Town of Ithaca board meetings where tax rates are going up more than a dollar a month. The cumulative increase, though, we have to be mindful of as we go through our revisits. I'm completely supporting this position for a year, and even if it's amended for 2 years, so the department with a new director can look at the overall mission and balance and come back with some proposals. I'm not interested at this point in putting on as target.
Mike Sigler?
Pass.
All right. Okay, are we ready to vote? Are all those in favor of making this position, the systems analyst position in probation target? This is the amount of $60,217. All those in favor, please raise your hand. One, two, three. All right, and oppose. So that's three ayes, 12 noes. Okay. So
can you restate then where it will stay?
Yes. It will. So the position is funded one time for $60,217. Okay. Martha, yes?
I'd like to move the two-year funding. That would leave it in essentially the same out of the fund balance and not add it to the levy.
Okay. That's seconded by Leslie McBean-Clevel. All right. And do we need any discussion about this? Martha, go ahead.
Yeah, and the purpose there, I think, is really to express, in particular, since this is one of those single incumbency positions, that we support the position, that we intend to maintain it and not have this person on a one-year yo-yo. But maybe you just kind of wait until things get sorted out.
All right. Any other discussion? Yes, Chief.
Very short. I'll support the two. I would also support the one. After hearing Greg talk in another meeting the other day about another topic completely, but having to do with tech things, you know, that's the world we're in, and we're going to have to face that at some point. And this way, we're kind of taking a glance away from that, but we're still there. So, you know, I think we ought to do it for a couple of years, maybe even one, but clearly it's going to have to be something we're going to have to do within the next 5 years.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. All right. I have Mike Sigler.
I guess my big question is, I keep reading in the paper that crime is down in our county. So I'm wondering, I understand the need for this position because of the new kind of crime, but it would seem to me if crime is dropping in one area, why can't we just have those resources? I mean, I'm sure there's a reason why we can't. That's kind of why I'm asking.
Do you know which study said that? Was it a state?
I don't know. Mr. Ashmore? It was in your paper about a month ago.
Because they define crime sometimes as just new felony convictions. Mm-hmm. And that totally excludes misdemeanor convictions. And they also define it within a certain period of time. So I don't know. Unless I could see the study, I guess that's all okay. I could comment on that.
All right, Leslie and then Martha, then we're going to vote.
I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Leslie. Martha?
Crime may be down because we have a probation department and we have these programs that we have.
I missed that, Martha.
Okay. All right. Okay. All those in favor of two-year funding for this position, this does not affect the tax levy. All those in favor, please raise your hands. Eight. All right. And opposed. All right, and that passes 8-7. All right. Okay, next. Thank you, Pat.
Oh, thank you. And I want to hear from everyone to set up meetings to come in and meet with me to talk about ATI one-on-one as well. Okay?
Okay, all right, thank you. All right, Frank, you're up. District Attorney.
The other afternoon, we discussed the adding through the contingent fund $25,000 to the district attorney's budget with regard to the Article 26 requirements pertaining to animal cruelty complaints or animal cruelty investigations. Gwen was unable to come today, but there were several of you that said that you'd reconsider if you had time to sleep on it, and I'd just like to bring this back again in the same manner that Martha proposed it, which was, and let me read from the minutes, one time not subject to rollover in the contingent fund for the Article 26 obligations. And I think that captures what Martha's comment was that evening. So I'd like to move $25,000 into the DA's budget for the Article 26 responsibilities.
I'm sorry, as target?
No.
As one time?
No, it's the contingency fund, but not subject to rollover. Isn't that how you're
putting it? You can put it in the DA's budget, but then say it's not subject to rollover, so it stays.
Yeah. So one time, not subject to rollover.
So it'll be a one time. Okay, so forget the contingency. It's one time, but not subject to rollover. Is that how you had suggested it, Martha?
Yeah.
Right, the idea being in the contingent fund, then it has to go through committee and the full legislature to be voted on. If it's in her budget, then she's right. got the ability to use it.
That's, but it rolls
that
over.
Was,
into
that was the right. key thing because of the need for trying to get forensic experts in a timely manner, as I recall.
All right. Jim, seconds?
Yes.
All right. Discussion, Mike.
I'm unclear. I think Frank said after Steve commented it's in the budget, and Martha said it's in contingency.
She was just saying that if it was in contingency, you'd have to vote on it.
Oh,
but
the motion is in the budget.
Having it at one time.
It's
yeah.
in the budget, but okay. as... Yeah.
Mike.
So I oppose this again, although we spoke about this last October 6th, but it's a $1 million budget. I think that that's what contingency is for. I don't think we have to put aside $25,000 more in the budget or in contingency. These can be dealt with on an annual need as needed basis.
Okay, Pam.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm getting a little unclear about the contingency because we keep putting money in specific things. For example, we put in the $35,000 for the soil and water real estate expense, and that's why is this happening? I mean, I thought that was what we set up a fund to take care of these things as they come along.
Right, right. So Frank's motion is one time, not subject to rollover. So that way the DA has this pot of money.
No, I understand that.
Okay.
I understand.
You're just asking a general question about why we're putting stuff in contingency.
Which this is not.
Which this is not.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Then I guess since it's not relevant to this particular item, then we don't need to discuss it.
All right. Other comments? Yes, Julie.
Is Article 6 the animal cruelty thing that needs...
Yes, 26. Article 26.
What did I say?
6. That's okay.
26 is pregnant, yes. And there, it's totally unpredictable from year to year.
Right.
So how did you know how much to put in?
Based on the three cases that were investigated the last time around, just rounded the number, and if she doesn't use it, she returns it.
And the reason for doing this, I'm trying to remember the
That's
last
okay.
discussion,
That's
I'm sorry,
right.
is it was that it takes too long to get money out of contingent fund?
Because of, Gwen had described a change in the state process. I can't tell you the citation that she was referring to because it's relatively new. But it was with regard to the speed at which she has to investigate these cases. And there's no wiggle room anymore. I mean, not that there ever was, but in this case she's required, or in this instance she's required to investigate it. And the timeliness, she described to us at the last meeting that, pardon me, that she would have to hire a forensic expert, and sometimes that was something that needed to be done relatively quickly. And this way, the way Martha has suggested, and I agree with this, with the change, it gives her gives Gwen the flexibility to make that decision and hire somebody in a timely manner.
I guess I'm wondering if the DA wouldn't have enough money in the overall budget to feel comfortable contracting with an expert and then replacing that money with money from contingency. I'm trying to understand the urgency of the time in this, and I'm trying to decide how I'm going to vote.
Yeah, so I can't answer that question for you. I don't know.
Kathy, then Martha.
Thank you. Much as I enjoy it, when Frank and Martha agree, I'll be voting against this.
Why don't you join us?
You could have a triumvirate. All right, Martha.
Yeah, this is... I don't really mean to take credit for this. This is, you know, Frank's proposal, and it occurred to me that it was similar to the mechanism of putting it in her budget but not subject to rollover. It was similar to the way we handled a certain bucket of money for personnel for a particular purpose that may cross budget years, et cetera. So I think it's not just about hiring experts. It's also there can be some unusual and large expenses. And she talked about having to examine evidence that she has to be able to decide very quickly before an animal is destroyed, for example. And that's unusual kinds of expenses.
I understand the time urgency from her perspective, but I also think she has a really large budget and may be able to transfer funds to enable her to do that and then come to us to make her whole. And since this is one-time money that maybe I think we need to save for the highway department, as you'll see later, I guess I know how I'll vote. Thank you.
All right. I have, oh, I'm sorry. Jim, and then who else?
No, Nathan, I would yield to you if you just say the words, is it time to vote?
Yes. Okay. Ready to vote? Looks like we're ready to vote. All those that support $25,000 in one time, not subject to rollover, for the DA's budget regarding animal cruelty, whatever. I'm speaking too much. I should have stopped earlier. All right. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. All right. All those in favor? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right. And opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right. And that fails 7-8. Okay. Next. Dooley, you have a... Motion or discussion regarding the Human Rights Division Department?
I was set to thinking by Mike Hattery's earlier motion, which changed the study of combining that department with another one, and how that had ramifications throughout the budget. And I was trying to remember what was the earlier configuration of our Human Rights Department before the head of it spent part-time being a deputy county administrator. And my memory being what it was, I don't completely trust it, but I think that there used to be a full-time paralegal position. And if that's true, then I would like to make sure that the budget for 2009 reflects any changes that may need to be made, and I'm hoping Norma can help me with this.
There was an when the budget was put in initially, there was an error. It was put in as a 40-hour week position when in fact it should have been a 35-hour week position. To make this a full-time 35-hour week position, the over-target request needs to be changed to $28,903 rather than the initially they asked for $36,558. The county administrator recommended just what was in rollover. To make it a full-time position, that number needs to be changed to $28,903 at 35 hours a week.
Mike Hattery, you have a follow-up.
$28,903 makes it
a full-time 35-hour week position. Yes.
All right, Jim, then Martha.
My question, Norman, we had a phone conversation about it. It currently is a one-time position or a target position?
It has been a target-funded position right along. Right now it's being recommended at one time. The department really needs a target position.
Right. Okay, thanks.
Martha.
So in the budget right now is use of rollover 23,533, right?
Right.
And that wouldn't, what you're saying is that would not be enough to pay for a 35-hour position.
That's right.
Okay. 28,903 would.
That's correct.
Jim.
Okay. So I guess I would ask, if I can ask Sean, what if this isn't funded? What would be missing, and maybe to describe the structure of the department?
Okay, if you can indulge me just a little bit, and I'm sorry I have the crud. I started in 1999, which I explained to the Health and Human Services Committee. In 1998, this position has always been fully funded and a targeted position. In the year 2005, in an effort to save some funding, I did reduce the position down. But you also granted me $10,000 extra in professional services line to utilize extra interns. Over the years, I've aggressively used rollover in order not to request any additional funding. This particular year, it's different because I had to refund my director's position, which was reduced down to 60% funding. So I've also taken money to put back into that position for 2009. I've also reduced the funding out of professional services. I don't have the extra funding and cushion I used to have for the internship position. So I just want you to know that piece. That's why we came up short in the paralegal line. And right now you have about $7,655,000. In order for me to have it at the continued 35-hour position, I would need the additional $28,903. And I was willing to return that back, the rollover back over of $23,000 if I could have that funding in target and to remain a targeted position. What will happen is currently we have an average of 50 to 60 cases on our caseload pretty much monthly. We average about, I would say, 1,200 complaints a year. We're able to do approximately 700 investigations. A number of those, fortunately, do end up in alternative dispute resolution. We have an 180-day timeline to process each and every one of those cases. So if I did not have that particular position, it would be a struggle. What I've always done in the past, if I need the extra assistance, I would hire interns to help me out. So it would be a reduction in our ability to meet the statute of limitations of 180 days. And the caseloads have not decreased. I can tell you right now, 2004, we had 1,128 complaints. 2005, 1,086 complaints. 2006, 1,180 complaints. 2007, 1,200 complaints.
Okay, I have, sorry, Mike Hattery, do you have a comment?
Yep.
Yeah.
The way this funding, this was previously worded, would have put this position on at least part-time on another task, which implies to me that you have some capacity in staffing.
That's because this year, Mike, I was able to obtain two interns that are paid for by Cornell University. But that the internship money, one will expire at the end of the year. The other one is only going to be for half a year. So that's how I've been able to substitute this year. And if that was a possibility, if there was a possible merger in the following year, I was looking at that as a possible position to be narrowed out.
I guess I'm conflicted in that you've made a strong case for the fact that you have a caseload that demands this position, but we were going to mortgage it for another use.
That's if we had a merger of two departments, which would increase the staff. Right now, we only have four.
No.
Okay. All right, I have Jim and then Carol.
Sean, you just reeled off a bunch of numbers on cases for the last, since 04. Mm-hmm. And when a case comes to you or in the department, do some of the cases get resolved by people in the office, or does everything go through a complete process?
No. Some of the cases do get resolved instantly. Some of the cases, there's actually a complaint file. We immediately offer alternative dispute resolution to the respondent. It's up to the respondent complaining to participate in that process. Unfortunately, this is a very litigious society, so a lot of people have a tendency to hire attorneys, particularly our high number of employment discrimination cases that we have. Respondents have a tendency to hire attorneys. They have a tendency to go through the process a little bit longer. Sometimes we'll complete the entire investigation. It'll actually be set for a hearing before there's a settlement. So it can vary, which takes up time because we're still required to meet that deadline. And when I say meet that deadline, that means when we take a complaint in, we give the respondent 15 days to respond. We give the complainant 15 days to respond. We only have so many days to do our investigation, to acquire additional evidence, and to make our determination. And then it has to flow up to an administrative hearing. That entire process from beginning to end must be completed within 180 days. We are fortunate that we have been able to successfully remain within our 180 days, unlike the state, as you probably already know, is still backlogged 2 to 3 years in their caseload. And our regional office is Albany. It is not Binghamton. So if we don't have a office here, the regional office is Albany.
May I ask one other
yes,
question?
Yes, sure. Go ahead, Jim.
On a normal year, 04, 05, 06, what percentage of those cases are county cases? Okay, I mean, do you have
I'm not sure that I have permission to say that publicly.
What do you mean by county?
Well, that they would be complaints in the county. One group against another group.
So within Tompkins County as opposed to adjoining counties.
You mean county government?
No, I think that's not the problem.
Yeah, I need clarification.
I think you're talking about geographic boundary. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, we service Tompkins County. This is Tompkins County only. Yes.
But I'm not able to ask how many are actually within the Tompkins County, this group, the government group.
I'm not allowed to give that information.
I clearly don't want specific employees and
employers.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Let me just say, my point would be that if in fact there is a significant number of those, then they automatically leave this office immediately, right?
We draft the complaint, and then yes, they do. They do leave the office. Okay.
I also want to remind people that there's no motion on the floor, so
that's what I'm thinking.
And Dooley, if you want to make one first before I call on Carol, that would
just for the record, I can give that information to the legislator privately if he chooses to have that information.
Okay. All right.
Well, based on what I think I've heard
from
Norma, I would like to move 28,903 as a target and make this a Tyler so that the rollover comes back to the county, the 23,500.
Okay, and I have seconded by Kathy.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Can I say why I'm seconding this?
I'm going to have Carol go first. And
no problem.
All right, Carol, go ahead.
I'm still having problems understanding the figures that you gave and the history and need for the position. I support having a human rights office here. That makes sense to me. You talked about there being, so I have several questions about this. You talked about there being 50 to 60 cases that come in each month, but 112 per year.
We consistently keep on our books at least between 50 and 60 cases that we're processing. So one goes out, another one comes in.
Okay, and how many per year?
We average about 1,200 per year. We average about 700 investigations. So some of those cases automatically we can get rid of for various different reasons.
It might be helpful. You know, you had mentioned that there was the last report that you had done, that it wasn't recent,
and I was hoping to be able to present that information to you at the next Health and Human Services Committee. I do have the stats.
Okay. I thought you were going to leave one in my box.
No, you and I are supposed to schedule an appointment.
Okay. Okay. If I had it in advance, then we'd have better questions. And then on the history, I'm trying to understand. You reduced this position, and we're able to do the work with interns. When you moved over and had your time only 60% there instead of 100%.
That wasn't the same year, Carol. That was prior to me becoming deputy county administrator.
Okay.
And that was ordered.
Able to deal with not having this position while you've not been there 40% of your time and been able to do it with interns, and now you're coming back so that it'll be 40% more of your time. I'm trying to understand why.
No, it's full time. The position has been full time ever since when I went to deputy county administrator 40%, that position went right back to full time. I reduced it just that one year in an effort to save some money and not to request over target, and then I was supplemented with $10,000, and I was able to also receive extra funding through other streams like Cornell University and Ithaca College to fund interns. That was just for that one year, but that wasn't the year that I switched over to the position as deputy county administrator. It was prior to that.
Okay, I guess I'm trying to understand why, if you're coming back with another 40% of your higher knowledge time, mm-hmm. whether we still need to have as many other positions in the office once you're back. to do to handle the casework that you've been handling without you being there 40% of your time?
And you asked that question before, and as I articulated before, although 40% of my time was to be dedicated to Deputy County Administrator, I still found myself having to dedicate a lot more of my time to the Human Rights Office despite that factor. Because the work doesn't go away. And I'm the only attorney in the office, so the paralegal is not going to substitute for me.
No, I understand that.
Okay, I have Kathy and then Martha.
Thank you. Barbara Blanchard used to say, no good deed goes unpunished. I think this is an example of that. Like so many county departments, this department has tried to be flexible in various ways. If it sounds convoluted, it's because it is. And if it sounds complicated, it's because it is. Like a lot of department heads, there's an effort here to help us out. And in this particular situation with the proposal that was simply a proposal, it ended up being misunderstood. And I think I understand what's being suggested. And the way I look at it, this is making the department whole. And, you know, so many agencies and departments are coming to us saying that the need is increasing. And I understand that. And instead of actually an increase, what this is the way I understand it, is making up for a loss of internship subsidies. It doesn't mean that in the future there might not be internship and other opportunities that this department goes after, as so many of our departments do. So because of the background to this and the way that I want to incentivize department heads for trying to help instead of punishing them, because the kind of innovative thinking that people go through in trying to make these offers is something that we should encourage and not punish.
Martha?
One of my problems is that in our white pages, it starts at 2006, and that was where... So, Sean, you're saying that the reduction in 2005, you were at... This paralegal was at a full-time position, and 06 was on. I would really like to have more information. I'd love to have more information before I voted, but I'm probably not going to have that. But I'd love to see on paper. I can't manage that many numbers that are read to me.
Database doesn't go back that far. That's why Norma wasn't able to give you that particular information.
2004.
Right.
2004. Well,
that's
let's start with 2004. What the history?
It was full time.
Well, I'd like to see the staffing levels from there on, and also if you can identify, plug in where you said that $10,000 came in, and
2005.
How many in? I need to see it on paper. I can't manage it like verbally. I'm telling you what I would love to see, and that would include the number of interns and any other funding that's come in, because it's really hard to understand what the real baseline has been.
And Martha, I'm going to have to go back in the records or the hard copies, because I actually went back, as I informed you before, to go back through the hard copies, and I went back through our budgets, just the copies that I kept. And, of course, in order to reduce paper, I got rid of a lot of stuff. So I kept the friendly version, and the friendly version of 2000, and the friendly version of 2001, 2002, and 2003 does not contain the FTEs. I was hoping to just go back and pull off a copy of that. That's why I was trying to get that from Norma. Norma said her database only went back so far.
Well, this is a small department. We should be able to figure out at least.
That's what I thought.
I'll start with 204 at least, if that's where you can.
We can get it from. Personnel is the only other place that I can think of, but I'm not sure if they collect that data as well.
We'll get it.
Thank you.
I have a question for Steve. Steve, in your recommendation, so what was happening is that there was $23,533 in rollover, right?
Correct.
And you were saying use all that money to fund this position.
Correct.
Right? Now, what we're doing here is we're making a full 28,903 target. Is that
correct?
Is there any way that we can just, say, take that 23,533 and then just add that $5,000 or so dollars?
Yeah, that's essentially what you're doing.
That's essentially what we're doing.
For 1 year.
For next year. You get the rollover back
right
now.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, great. Martha, and then Jim.
It appears the request was for a one-time. Is that in here incorrectly?
Yes.
Yes, it's for Target.
So it's labeled Tyler all the way through.
On my white pages, it says that the department requested one time.
Oh, one-time use of the rollover, I think, is what they're referring to.
It's wrong.
It's wrong. That should have been a Target request. Okay.
Okay. Jim?
For Norma, what is the cost of the position for 09?
The cost with the rollover?
Whatever. In other words, what's it going to be if it's one time or Target? What's it going to say in the budget for this position?
Should be about $35,000.
Okay. $36,558.
Pam?
I would like to point out that the total budget for this department is about $185,000?
About $200,000.
Right, $200,000.
Well, actually.
And I don't know if we counted per dollar how much time we've spent on this, not just in this tonight, but it is something that we like to talk about a lot. I don't know. It just seems like it's an awfully high number of minutes for the size of the whole budget for this department.
Okay. Are we ready to vote? Okay. I will be supporting this because this was once a full target position. So, all right.
Could I please ask that the motion be repeated? Because I'm hearing one-time Target, non-Target, Tyler. I just want to be clear what it is we're voting on.
Right. All right. So the request is Target of $28,903 with the use for 09 of $23,533 rollover. To pay for part of it in 09.
But this is Target.
But this is Target. That's right. But in 09, $23,533 of it will rollover will be used to offset.
That's what I'm saying. I need to ask you a question.
Yes. Okay. Go ahead, Martha.
As we've asked at this point, asked Steve to explain his recommendation before. You say that the county administration recommends the department fund this position with available rollover only.
Correct.
So if it had been clear that this was a Target request, would that have been your recommendation?
Hard to tell. Depends on where I was in the process. In general, I don't think I was supporting any positions that I would have thought as new, but this was reestablishing, so it would have been right on the line. I had a little bit of leftover Target money at the very end, as you recall.
Jim and Leslie. Jim. Oh, you did. I'm sorry. Leslie.
I still don't know that I got my question answered. Too many people were talking. So I heard $58, and I'm hearing 28. I know there's 23 something in rollover. What is the motion?
The motion was for $28,903. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
In Target.
Yes.
Right, in Target.
And that would make the position a full-time position because there exists some $10,000 or $9,000 somewhere already. Right.
Yes. There's 7,655 sitting in it.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm trying to clarify. I need to clarify. Was this, before we are voting tonight, was this in our budget as a one-time rather than Target? So we're making we're not just making a $5,000 change here. My understanding is we're making a $28,000 change from one time to Target. Given the questions there are about this, it would make more sense to me to fund it as one time, and then let's do a look at the program the way we were talking about before, where we understand all of this and, come back to it next year.
Yeah, my only objection to that is that I think it's a reestablishment of a position.
Right.
So. That's how I think it's different. But that's my personal opinion. All right, Pam.
Is this a reestablishment, Steve, of a position?
Just a reminder, I also had to...
I would like him to answer.
I'm looking at the record here, and it's...
It doesn't go back far.
There are a couple of discrepancies that I'm having a little trouble with myself. In particular, I'm looking at Director of Human Rights. This is on page 141 of the big book. And the Director of Human Rights line 284, 51,284, in 2006 was funded at 35,480, and yet was listed on the top on the full-time equivalents as being a full-time position. So that's what I'm struggling with right here.
Can I answer?
Norma, yeah, go ahead, Norma.
I couldn't whisper loud enough to explain this to Steve. In the last 2 years, the director has been part-time county administrator, as you all know, and part-time director. These are actual numbers. When a budget adjustment is made, part of that money is transferred to the department that she's being paid out of, which was county administration.
So the
it was for about $40,000 was transferred for both of those years over to county administration to cover her. We paid 100% of her salary.
Okay, so for 06, the position really would have been 0.6. Is that what you're saying? Full-time equivalent?
No, for 07, 2007, 2008, it was 0.6.
I understand that. The problem I'm having is that if you look at the position, it says 35,480, and yet the full-time equivalent up on the top says it was a full-time position. Well, that's not a full-time
correct.
Position salary. So that's where I'm having some struggle.
Sean?
In 2006, it was half because it was in the middle of the year, and then we transferred funds once again out of human rights to administration.
Okay.
That's what happened.
That makes more sense.
That's what I was just trying to let you know.
Okay. So then to answer your question, in 06, it was half, and it's been full-time ever since, the paralegal position.
In 06, it was half, and then it's been full-time ever since. Okay. All right, Mike Hatter.
What was before that, I don't know.
If I'm reading the numbers right on staffing for this department, the motion that we're currently considering will move this department from 3.5 or 3.6 to 4.0 FTEs. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I lost track of who's speaking. Can you?
But that's the director.
What's Martha? Did you have a comment? If you have a comment, raise your hand again, please.
I feel uncomfortable voting on something where the numbers are really not clear on paper. Is it reasonable to table this or postpone?
Yeah. All right. Is that it? Okay,
yeah.
So Dooley, you want to withdraw and bring it back tomorrow?
Glad to bring it back tomorrow. If I'm not here, someone else can.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Dooley.
Thank you.
All right, so that's withdrawn. So
and we will have what tomorrow?
And we will. We are having revisions
before tomorrow. No.
Oh,
in terms of this
that list, I don't have on me right now. Norma,
no,
do you?
But from Sean, can you give us the
what are we asking for?
Figures
in terms
said verbally, but you have them on paper for Health and Human Services. You can give them to us.
I'm not sure we're answering Martha's question. I think Martha is looking for the historical numbers to be laid out on the paper.
Correct.
The
which
staffing
we don't
levels,
have.
But the case for the position also is what you went through. We need both. Okay, and
I'm
the
trying.
Staffing levels and if this can, you know, make sure that it's clear that the white pages here, page 141, is accurate, and actually page 142 also, because it's frustrating.
It sounds like a request to Norma.
So it's a Norma, but also then the issue of it'd be great to have data on caseloads. How many interns and
I can give you the numbers again. Do you want, I mean, I have those numbers right now.
No,
so
I think we want all this in one place on paper so we can all look at the same thing.
I'm not
all right. You're asking for how many employees have worked in the Human Rights Office since, the Human Rights Commission since
Well, it seems like 2004 is not a problem. It's not a big problem to go back to 2004.
So since...
And I just want to make sure that Norma and Sean agree on the numbers on page 141 and 142, so we get a revised white pages book.
Right. Oh, yeah, but you want numbers of full-time equivalent since...
Since 2004, since that's part of the cases. And then it would be nice to know how many interns you've had, and you mentioned the $10,000 in professional services money. Make a note as to when that was injected.
Okay, and that should be in the budget because it's in the 2005 page.
I'm doing
I saw
right
that
now.
In there.
We're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you guys will work on it. Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Okay, thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Sean. Okay. Next, we are 15 minutes behind schedule. Julie, you have a motion to add $200,000 one time for highway materials. Is that right?
I do.
You do? Wow. I just telepathically. No. So go ahead.
Well, you just said what I was going to say.
Okay.
Yeah, we all know how there's a big gap in the highway department's budget. And the highway manager can either just do the work for which we fund him and then our roads just to deteriorate for the rest of this season, or he can come back to us and ask for contingent money during the year. But the program that is scheduled, I believe, requires more money than he has in his budget. And so I would like to move one-time money to help him run his repair program this coming year. And I would really appreciate it if Bill Sesney could say it better than I can. If you come up and tell us what
right,
you
need. Can I have a second on that? And that's for $200,000, right?
Yes, and it's one-time money.
$200,000. Do I have a second?
It really is needed as target, but I'm not moving it as target.
Do I have a second?
No second.
Jim seconds. All right. Okay, Bill, go ahead.
Well, $200,000, if we're going to do an overlay an inch and a half of blacktop on a road, we'll do about 1.6 miles of roadway, depending upon the amount that you put for truing and leveling on the first course, and then the second course you put the inch and a half. Currently, it's about 1.6, 1.7 miles, that amount of money. What it's going to be next year, I really have no idea. The price of the materials with oil is just it's gone out of sight. I've provided you with charts that show how much the prices have escalated. At this point in time, it's a guess. An educated guess, but still a guess.
And how much do we currently have allocated for highway materials?
Well, we've got our capital program, which is $1.6 million,
uh-huh.
And we have roughly a matching $1.6 million in materials.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, I have Mike, did you have a comment? Yeah, Mike Hattery, then Pam. All right, Mike Hattery.
Are you seeing a decline in your overall pavement management rate?
We're holding our own currently, but if the prices continue to escalate, we will see a reduction in the pavement quality index.
And that would be over multiple years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, Bill. When you go to your professional conferences and things like that, is anybody talking about another kind of road cover besides an oil-based road cover? Do you hear of any sort of basic research that's being done on that?
There is research being done. We're trying different methods. We're trying micropaving. We're trying different types of polymers, but they're basically all oil-based. To put the concrete down, concrete costs more than the blacktop does.
Right. Okay. Thanks.
Other comments or questions? All right.
it's pretty much for you, Dooley, and I hope you can answer, because I followed with much interest your dealings in the highway department over the past 3 years, and I'm wondering what makes this a necessary item right now, the $200,000.
Just looking at the future, we can get behind, and then it costs us more to catch up if we ever can. We tried to institute a program to catch up on deferred maintenance. That's the capital project that was referred to. We're already behind in that. It got stretched out for various reasons. And as Bill has said, the ingredients he needs cost more. And it seems almost self-evident to me that we're going to have to deal with this with more money. And recognizing it now seems more prudent to me than not.
Okay, looks like we're ready to vote. All those in favor of one-time funding in the amount of $200,000 for highway materials, please raise your hand. Okay, we have two. And opposed. All right, so that fails. Two to 13, there we go. All right. Okay, next we have a budget update. I think, David, you have a few items that you want to bring up to us.
I was going to pass out the latest information I have on sales tax.
Okay.
I think it's pretty important that you understand what's in the budget, how is it compared to historically. And what this is just a, you see, it's just a track of the last 10 years of sales tax. And I want you to understand how, you know, this is scary times, and we have $1 million increase in the budget from 2008 to 2009 in sales tax, and how that really shakes out, because we're having a very good year in sales tax this year. The real question is, are we going to have a, it's going to go off the cliff? And the way it looks right now is that the 2009 budget basically represents about a 1% increase in sales tax income from what we expect to receive this year. We've had very great growth for the first three quarters. The fourth quarter probably will fall off. But even with the expectation the fourth quarter is going to fall off, we still are going to have about a $900,000 increase in sales tax in 2008 over what we budgeted. The reason why I bring this up is because it means that there's really only going to be a 1% increase in the budget estimate over 2008. Not $1 million, but 1%, a little over $300,000. So the real key question is that too aggressive? There's only been 2 years out of 10 that sales tax didn't increase from year to year. Most years it's increased from $500,000 to $1.5 million. And I want to make sure everybody's comfortable, because sales tax is one of these items that you don't really know where you stand until the end of the first quarter, which is in May. And it's actually very difficult to switch gears and try to cut back to make an adjustment in order to get back into balance. So what I handed you out, I wanted to show you that this figure, the third period sales tax, the county share sales tax, I expect to be about $7.6 million. Now, I know this because I have 2 months already in, and I know what the third month is in gross. I just don't know how it shakes out between the county share and the other shares. But I can tell you that 99% certain that we'll get about 67% of the income that came in the month of September is ours. So that figures probably within $50,000 of the actual total receipts for third quarter. The fourth quarter county share is based upon what New York State said our 2007 fourth quarter was reconciled. There's a difference between how much money we get and how much is reconciled. I do know that in the fourth quarter last year, we had the benefit of some extra income from adjustments. So this pulls out those adjustments. So we're projecting a flat fourth quarter, and in real terms, it's less than $300,000 less than we got last year. So you add the four quarters up, and you see we end up with $30,399,000 compared to a current budget estimate of
$30,299,000
is what we estimate, and we budget right now $29,395,000. So that's about $1 million, $900,000 more than we actually estimated. If you compare that figure to what the 2009 budget presumes of $30,511,000, so right now, if this projection holds up, we're saying that the budget represents a 1% growth in sales tax. And you're going to be asked, how can you have an increase in sales tax in the middle of a recession? It's one of the questions the public might ask.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't seen recession hit our sales tax income yet. So, I mean, it's justification to saying that could, you know, it's not unreasonable to assume that you might get more sales tax this next year than we got this year.
Okay. I have Kathy, Pam, Mike Segura, Mike Michelera, and then Carol.
Thanks. David, just the kind of question I have for you, because what I hear you saying is, if I got this right, are we comfortable with your 1% projection? And the question that I would have is, does that seem like a conservative estimate to you? Because you're usually pretty conservative, and you tend to, if you're comfortable with it and you consider it to be a conservative estimate, then I'll go with it.
I think that what is in the budget is conservative. We haven't had that, we used to budget what we actually got the previous year, actually, like over a year ago. We used to budget for like the 2007 figure would be the 2009 budget estimate. We switched that because we had the opportunity, because we knew that there was build out on Elmira Road was coming to fruition, and it was going to result in a known amount of new square footage, that a substantial part of that would be new activity within the county. So we put that in, and that bumped up the actual budget 1 year and got us off that track. So when we started this budget process, we thought the $29 million was probably pretty aggressive from what we had done in the past. What I'm telling you now, it doesn't look that aggressive because it's only about 1%. But even some might question whether any increase is should be put in there, because some municipalities are budgeting flat. The city of Ithaca, Air Headlines, they're budgeting a large increase because the history shows that they're getting more. It's grown pretty well, very high percentage every year.
Pam?
Well, I guess I just wanted to add, one of the factors in here isn't just the recession, it's the increased cost of fuel. And so, the sales tax revenues from that is part of what's
that's
driving this.
Yeah.
And so it has little, to do with recession. The question is can anybody predict, what's going to happen with the fuel markets for the next year, which is a pretty difficult thing to do.
Mike Sigler?
That was my basic question, too. I mean, oil's below $80 a barrel now. Are we building that into our forecast? The fact that, heating oil hopefully will go down. At least I'm hoping it'll go down.
Well, we know that the two big items that make up the base is energy usage, but it's not as large as you might think. It's less than 7%, the amount of the category of utilities. But that is that does benefit, and that's where a lot of the increase is coming from, because people really don't have the luxury of not turning on their furnace.
Michael Caligolare.
I would say that I appreciate the update, David, given that we've had a $1 million increase for the last 5 years, and if you look since 2000, it's been at least 300,000. Your encouragement is that we won't add our estimates to sales tax revenue, but I don't want to. I think I'm fine with the $300,000 increase at 1%. I'm not going to change it downward.
I share that sentiment as well. Carol, and then Dooley, and then Mike Hatter.
Yeah, I guess the upshot is I'll go with that. So I mean, the best financial minds in the country, and the world for that matter, have no idea what our general economy is going to do from day to day, let alone in the next year. And then you add on top of that the uncertainty for us locally about what the effect of even a big downturn would have on us. I mean, you could make as plausible an argument that a downturn in the general economy will cause people locally to spend more money here that they had been traveling out of here to spend other places, and that people from other places who are traveling much further distances are now, we're seeing the tourism trend of people coming here. So you could make as plausible an argument that we might still continue to see ours increase. So we don't have any more of a crystal ball than all of those sources do.
Dooley?
I take his estimates.
I'm not sure whether this $30 million plus for 2009 budgeted sales tax is meant to replace the $29 million that's on our line 11. Are you suggesting?
No. What it is the reason why it's higher, because $29 million reflects what is applied to the tax, the tax levy, reduces the tax levy. We have $30 million, $1.5 million in the budget that's a pass-through that comes in and it's paid to agencies.
So you're not suggesting any change
in
that?
So, okay. Yeah, that's how you get the difference. The $29 million is what they do.
Mike Hattery?
You probably remember better than I do, but my recollection is that the last time that we had a lot of local governments that got caught with their sales tax projections ahead of their actuals, it wasn't pretty. I was thinking it was 91 or 92. I think it's much better the closer these two numbers are than the further apart they are.
I'm getting a lot closer.
Carol, go ahead.
Clarify and understand correctly. So that is the last time we had a sheet that put this into the budget was the 10-6. So you're recommending that we adjust this overall summary?
No, we're not adjusting. We're keeping it the same.
That we keep it the same.
Yeah. No, I would be telling you, though, if it didn't work out the way it... If the sales tax had dropped off tremendously in the third quarter, I'd be recommending that you reduce the $29 million. But it hadn't fallen off, and I think that the fourth quarter is anybody's guess, but we're making allowances for a $300,000 reduction in the fourth quarter based upon a reconciled figure of what was attributed to the county during the fourth quarter of last year. And I think that's a reasonable way to approach it.
Okay, Martha Robertson.
Yeah, you just said that the $1.5 million pass-through.
Yes.
So even though it says here, county only share $30,299,000.
That includes the pass-through monies. But it's complicated because in
why isn't that under city share?
Huh? Because there's two different city agreements.
That's the pass-through that goes to the agency.
This actual money that comes in that we pay the city, and there's
activities that we fund with the city's sales tax agreement.
On behalf of the city, so, okay. So the real number we get to keep is $29
million. $29 million.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, David. Steve, do you have any? Steve or Norma, do you have anything right now? Okay, in that case,
Nathan,
well,
I have a question, because I thought we haven't added anything tonight to the levy, but the number's up there.
Oh, Norma, I think with the human rights stuff, maybe.
I'm in the wrong place.
Yeah, sorry.
With the human rights.
Yeah, so. Right, yeah, so once we change that back.
I'm going to take it.
Yeah, because we took no act. We withdrew that, so.
Thank you.
Great, yeah. All right, there we go. That's 3-1. All right, we're going to take a break. We will reconvene in, let's see, 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. All right.